Houston. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's time now for Who Said It every Friday at 2 p.m. We play Who Said It. Killer Bees are the Who Said It champions. Cody Stoots tried and tried miserably. Last two efforts were awful. So now we got another Cody on the line.
Or is it the same Cody?
We don't know yet. We haven't heard his voice. Hopefully it's a different Cody, because Cody Stoots should not be weaseling his way in. Cody, are you Cody Stoots?
No Cody Stoots.
Good. That's better for you, and it's better for everybody else. What makes you think that you're going to take the title, the crown, away from the Killer Bees and Who Said It today?
I just got it. I got it back. Easy.
All right.
Easy?
Well, I hope your game's better than your trash-talking game, because that's not very good right now by Cody. But championship advantage, of course, if you don't know the rules, 5 rounds. Brendan will read us 5 quotes from ESPN 97.5 personalities from this week. We have to guess. No duplicate answers. Championship advantage. Killer Bees get to go first. Brendan, what is number one?
Number one, back in like the 1800s, you showing any skin, you may as well be calling yourself a slut.
Say it one more time.
Back in like the 1800s, you showing any skin, you may as well be calling yourself a slut.
Okay. I have two coming to mind.
All right, let's see if either one of them was the one I was thinking of. Neither one was who I was thinking of.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Huh. I hope he's not doing that. Let's go whatever one you want to go.
No.
I have no idea.
You don't feel strongly about either one of yours?
Nope. Sure don't.
One more time.
Back in like the 1800s, you showing any skin, you may as well be calling yourself a slut.
Go with what you think.
No, you can pick it. Okay, you want me to pick it?
Sure.
Okay. Paul Gallant.
All right, Paul. All right, Cody, now you guess. Who do you think said this quote, number one, Brendan?
It was Paulie.
Well, you can't say Paul. We already said Paul.
Yeah, you
Cody.
Can't copy us, Cody.
You have to pick somebody else. No duplicate answers.
It was Paul. Okay, Vanessa.
All right, he went with Vanessa.
It was Paul. You think?
All right, here's Brendan playing the sound.
Because back in the day, back in like the 1800s, like, you know, you showing any skin, I mean, you may as well be like calling yourself, like, screaming, like, I'm a slut.
Well, Cody knew it. That's a good sign, Cody, for your overall prowess in this game. But it's fortunate we're the champions and had the championship advantage.
You Killer get to Bees pick first this time.
Lead 1-0. Yep. Question number two. Cody, you'll lead us off. Here's Brendan's question.
Number two. This is in reference to the Quidditch team. The best team in the entire world. Hogwarts couldn't mess with UT.
You're up, Cody.
Can you repeat that, please?
Again, in reference to the Quidditch team, the best in the entire world, Hogwarts couldn't mess with UT.
Cody's silent.
I'm going to go with Cody Stoots.
All right, Cody went with his name brethren, Cody Stoots. I think it's coming from that show. I would think BK because he went to Texas, or it could be somebody giving him grief because he goes to Texas.
I think that there were two Texas connections that I thought of immediately, and that was Lance's wife, but first and foremost, it was BK.
So you feeling BK here?
I am feeling BK.
All right, Killer Bees will go with Brad Kellner.
The best in the entire world. Hogwarts couldn't mess with UT.
2-0, Killer Bees. Cody, it's not your best showing. It's not the best way to start. A listener who said it, being down 2-0 right out of the gate.
Got to think it through, brother.
You still have time. You can sweep the final 3 rounds and come from behind to defeat the Killer Bees. What is number three?
Number three, if your last name is Beaver, you've got to collect Beaver, right?
Man. Has Brendan ever
went... Is it Cody's first pick?
No, it's ours.
It's our pick?
Yeah, has Brendan ever went back-to-back same person?
I definitely have.
Could be a morning show thing. You have a good feel on this one?
Not really.
I don't have a good feel.
One more time, please, Brent.
If your last name is Beaver, you got to collect Beaver, right?
I think you're right. I think it's a morning show for sure.
Lance wasn't really here this week, though, huh?
So let's go with the other one.
Okay. We'll go with Granato. We'll go with Granato. Cody, you're up.
Cody. All right, I'm going to go. Let's see.
If your last name is Beaver, you've got to collect Beaver, right?
Got to give Cody a time.
I'm going to go Vanessa.
All right, Cody. You got it in just before the horn.
If your last name's Beavers, okay. You got to collect Beaver.
That's
right?
Not a bad thing for us, though. We're still up two numbers. That's fine. Company yep. With the last name Beavers.
Like, you got to have, like, little Beaver statues everywhere.
Huh. I'm not sure I'd be talking crap about the PR lady, or the HR lady, but that signs your checks. But that's all right. All right, question number four. Cody, you have the rights to go first here. So you're up, Cody. What's number four, Brendan?
Number four. Alcohol can change how you were raised. It can change a lot about you.
Repeat that one more time.
Alcohol can change how you were raised. It can change a lot about you.
Cody, do you listen to our station?
I'm going to go with... Who is on? Dell.
All right, went with Dell. That's interesting. It's an interesting one.
I'm going to go same show.
Granato?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go Granato. Killer Bees go Granato on this one.
I don't know people.
No, alcohol can change how you were raised. It can change a lot.
Can't blame
you.
The parents for
it
that.
It changes a lot about
you. There you go.
Who is the biggest drinker without admitting that they might have a problem?
Granato?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Blue mountains are blue. It's good. All right, so we're up 3-0. We got one more to go. Cody, we'll see if you can get off the schneid here, or if we shut out somebody yet again. Back-to-back Cody shutouts would be great. What is number five?
Number five, let's be honest. Like all award shows, it's a bunch of people smelling their own farts.
Oh, boy.
I know Paul was on a tangent all week about the ESPYs.
Okay.
But Paul doesn't really. Does Paul?
That's a Paul comment.
Farts?
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Paul. We'll go with Paul. Cody, we tweet Paul. Who do you got? Try to get off the shutout here.
I was going to go with Paul, but. yeah, I heard Paul talking about that. Let's go with BK.
All right.
Let's be honest. Like all award shows, it's a bunch of people sitting in a room together smelling their own farts.
That was a dominating effort
that
by the Killer Bees.
Cody, right there.
Thanks for taking one on the chin. Thank you for being the tomato can.
He didn't take it on the chin.
Yeah, a tomato can for the Killer Bees. No, but in all seriousness, thanks for playing
along.
We appreciate it. Appreciate you listening to the Killer Bees and ESPN 97.5. You win absolutely nothing, Cody. That's another dominating performance, by the way. We're on a roll.
Can I point
that's
out?
Three in a row.
Cody seems like a Paul fan.
Yeah. He probably, Cody and Brendan are best buds, and they both have Paul Gallant posters hanging up on their wall.
It's about time that we sent the message so that maybe we motivate some other listeners to want to partake.
I'm not sure. After that bludgeoning.
You scared now?
After that bludgeoning, I'm not sure there's another listener that wants to go toe-to-toe with the Killer Bees.
Stutz will still come in here in tights.
So we beat listener Cody, 4-0, right? That was the final score, Brendan? 4-0?
Did you get four right?
I don't remember.
I believe we got four right.
Three or four?
I think it was four. But anyway, it was a shutout. How much did we shut out Cody last week?
I think so.
Yeah, we shut out Cody last week. I think we shut him out to win the title back. I think that's three straight Killer Bee shutouts. Like, we might not have the greatest offense in the world, but defenses win championships. And the defense of the Killer Bees the last 3 weeks has taken us to glory three straight times.
Need I remind you, I think your solo record is like 1-7.
What are you talking about? This is the Killer Bees championship.
How about the first question? You pick it. You pick it.
This is the Freebird rules. What are you talking about? It's going to be tough to get challenges. We're running through the division. We're cleaning out the entire division.
We got Davis Mills at quarterback, but the rest of our team is so damn good right now. We're just blowing people away.
Who's our quarterback?
Davis Mills.
But who is the proverbial Davis Mills?
The B.
Oh, okay. Ryan says, I will go toe-to-toe with you next week. We'll see about that.
Santa wants some, too, off of Twitter. So bring it.
Yeah. Ryan says he wants a piece of us. Dallas Longhorn saying that he wants a piece of us. I'm not sure that anybody wants a piece of the Killer Bees after three straight weeks of dominance where our opponents have literally combined for zero correct answers. And you know what that is? You know why it's zero? It's not because they're not capable. They're capable. The reason that they can't score against the Killer Bees is because they're intimidated of the Killer Bees.
Absolutely.
They're intimidated.
We just walk in and you look across the diamond, you go, oh, snap, here they come again.
Yeah. Well, as soon as we walk into the gym, it's like, oh, here's defeat, and I know it. All right, is an Astros move imminent? These comments from James Click might seem like it is. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
The Astros have proven to beat the big, bad New York Yankees.
And he hits the ball sharply down the line. That's a fair ball. Dubon on the move as Carpenter tries to dig it out of the corner. Here comes Dubon. He's going to score. RBI double for Corey Lee. Astros lead 2-0.
They still have never trailed in an inning in the series against the Yankees all season.
Broken bat towards short. Backhanded. Throw nowhere. Astros win. Astros win. J.J. Vanacevic puts the ball in play, and the Astros walk off the New York Yankees 3-2.
Yankees lose.
Jordan goes the other way. This ball's going to end up in the Crawford boxes. Welcome back, big man. Number 27 on the air, 1-0 Astros.
Like it's not, the narrative's not going to change, Dan, until you beat them in the playoffs if that day comes.
Jordan hits one to deep left center field. Back goes Hicks. He's near the wall. It's off the wall. That'll be a two RBI double. The big man, a home run and a double just off the IL.
If we happen to come back here in October, we're going to show up. We're going to expect to win. We think we're really good. They're really good. Don't overstate this.
A little tapper towards third. Bregman to second for one. Pena the third. Double play! An Astros sweep of a doubleheader.
Yankees move.
Don't overstate this, Dan.
Don't overstate this, Dan. We think we're really good. They're really good. What are you supposed to say, Aaron Boone? We took it in the short. We soiled another white another one of our uniforms. We're still great. Good Lord, just take it, man. I mean, I know Aaron Boone has to say what he's got to say, but the arrogance of the fan base to still be like highfalutin and touting this, that, and the other thing. Just be careful, because if you don't end the regular season with the best record, as much as that has been one of the long excuses you've had in your back pocket all season long, boy, Yankee fans are just going to keep taking it on Twitter.
Yeah, I love the David Ortiz. The Yankees lose. Astros sweeping the doubleheader yesterday over the Yankees. The lead for the top spot in the American League is now 2.5 after the Astros swept that doubleheader. Really put themselves in a good spot. Of course, the Astros head to Seattle, who is just chomping at the bit to take on the Astros tonight for the start of a three-game series. Urquidy, JV, Fromber. For the Astros, the starting rotation against the Mariners this week. James Click, again, I don't know if this was before the games yesterday or in the middle. It had to be before. But James Click was talking to Julia Morales and, your Q&A, draft's over, the August 2nd trade deadline is right around the corner. And she was asking Click, basically, like, how aggressive are you going to be? Are you going to head out? Are you going to try to trade for people? And here was Click laying out his plans between now and August 2nd. We'll get to what James Click had to say in just a bit. But here's what James Click had to say.
Yeah, with the schedule now, with the draft as late as it is, it creates some new challenges for a lot of us. We have been doing everything we can to get the trade market moving, but a lot of teams focused on the draft for the past week or so. Now that we're through it, we are continuing to work the phones. Last night, this morning, probably during the games today, we are putting all the balls in the air. We are going to be as aggressive as we possibly can because we think that this team has a chance to do something really special, and our job is to give them what they need in order to complete that.
I mean, James Click's not telling you that he's going to be on the horn and doing everything he possibly can to improve this team. I mean, what's he telling you? He flat out said the Astros are going to be as aggressive as possible to give this city what they deserve with this team who he thinks is capable of winning a championship.
First, he told us that it's all about putting your balls in the air. And then the more important thing is, he sent the message, if you were reading between the lines there, they have been burning the phone lines already trying to get a deal done. And in the process of trying to do that, I think that as an analytics guy, he's thinking what we've talked about, which is contradictory to what some of the people on other shows have been talking about, which is you try to get a deal done sooner rather than later so that you miss out on the last minute high competition overpaying and you get who you're after at a reasonable price sooner rather than later. And I love the way he's thinking. And I love the fact that this is telling but what I've said, what I've wanted to see all year, which is do something between the start of the season and the deadline that makes this team better. If you can do it in more than one area of the team, that's even better. If you get multiple players, super fan-dilly-tastic. But you know what? I love what I heard out of James Click right there.
Yeah. I mean, he's flat out telling you, I'm going to do whatever I can to make this team better. Now, he has also said that he's not going to do anything that jeopardizes the long-term success of this organization. So I think you can take what he said yesterday to Julia Morales, which was like, we're going to be uber-aggressive and try to help this team. But you can also take the other side of that. We're not going to do anything that jeopardizes the long-term success of our organization. That, to me, sounds like they're not going to trade anybody that is part of their significant long-term plans. Now, that doesn't mean maybe not like a Javier or a Luis Garcia or an Urquidy, somebody like that, because you have a surplus of starting pitching. But it tells me like Hunter Brown, probably not, really, which is, might be the only prospect that is off limits for the Houston Astros. But it seems like Click has everything on the table that he could potentially trade for. I don't think it's going to be like a Soto. Like, I don't think he's going to – James Click does not strike me as a general manager that trades for a Soto. Now, I think we're probably looking at more of a rental situation, like USA Today reporting that the Astros were in on Josh Bell.
Josh Bell and Castillo of the Reds are two guys that, at least in recent talks, the Astros have been in on, depending on who you're listening to.
And Luis Castillo isn't he's not done at the end of the year, too. Like, he has this
he's
year,
and then
he's got one more after one this more? One. So 2023 is his last year under contract. So I think that the Astros are going to be kicking the tires on literally everybody. James Click realizes that there is ways to help this team, whether it's Luis Castillo, and, you know, you do have a surplus in starting pitching, but Luis Castillo would immediately be one of your top four starters if we're assuming, yep, Lance McCullers is your third, which is a nasty playoff rotation, right? Justin Verlander, Framber Valdez, Luis Castillo, and if you're getting back Lance McCullers, and if you're not, well, then pick your other starting pitcher, and it's still a very nasty starting rotation. Josh Bell, people don't like hearing about this, but Josh Bell has had a better season to date, by far, than Yuli Gurriel has. So now you're upgrading potentially at first base. I think center field could be an area where the Astros could potentially look to upgrade this season as well. Try to add an outfield bat because, while Click tells you that Brantley, it's not a season-long injury, there's still got to be a little bit of concern about him.
Brantley's the focus. I think also, again, dissecting what Click said, the one thing that we do know is, at least in other quotes he's made, that Jake seems to be the guy that's in his long-term plan at center field. So I don't think that he's going to do anything to alter that long-term, but right, that doesn't also relegate you to saying, well, that means we're not going to get a center fielder for the short term. I think the other one is the one that I keep going back to because you started me on this road. Now I want to see him finish it. I want to see get Mancini because I think Mancini covers a lot of boxes for you. He covers the insurance policy for Brantley. He can cover an insurance policy for Yuli and play first base. He's a bat that's going to really, I would think, excel at Minute Maid Park. I just think that there's so many different reasons why it makes sense that I would love to see them get him before they get Bell, before they look at Benintendi or other guys. I also think as it relates to Castillo, the Yankees know damn well there's a couple of things. One, they need a pitcher for their rotation based on the uncertainty of some of the guys they have that were penciled in at the start of the year or they were counting on. They also are going to play defensive. The last thing they would like to see is to see him go to the Astros where they know that they already have a team that's been tough to beat. And you put him in that rotation now and you tell them that they got to go beat that team four times? Good luck to you.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Astros do. And I think the entertaining aspect of it, like how vested you are in this as an Astro fan, is obviously very high because the Astros are the second best team record-wise in the American League and took 5-7 against the best team record-wise in the American League. But then you have James Click saying what he just said. Like, that has to fire you up. Like, a general manager is flat out telling you, look, we think we're really good, and we think we can make this team even better, so we're going to turn over every stone to see if we can do that. I like Josh Bell, too. Like, the Trey Mancini versus Josh Bell, I kind of put them in the same tier. Like, which, if I could have both of them for the same exact price, I would take Mancini over Bell. That's not to say that I would be unhappy with Josh Bell. If the Astros traded for Josh Bell in the next 15 minutes, I would be very excited for Josh Bell. He is a very good offensive player, and I consider him and Mancini kind of on the same tiers. People are asking us on our Twitch, what about Trey Mancini? And they're asking us, too, like, how willing would Baltimore be willing to trade Trey Mancini? Because Baltimore's 500 right now. They have they're dead even on the year. They don't have a losing record. This isn't your, 2021 Baltimore Orioles. That said, Mike Elias has kind of hinted at, we're not going to do anything at the deadline that's going to change our course and our philosophy of us building for the future. Mancini's in what could potentially be the final year of his deal. He has a mutual option for $10 million next season. I believe if the Orioles get a decent offer for Trey Mancini, they would trade Trey Mancini. Like, I don't think the Astros would trade for both of them, but I wouldn't hate the idea of trading for both of them. Because right now you have a way to upgrade over first base. You can add a left field bat, too. And I know that Kyle Tucker in center field, I'm not a huge fan of that. But if you want to go with an all-offensive lineup, that's another thing you can do as well. Ocho is asking us, like, how many positions can the Astros address? There's three that stand out to me. And maybe even four if you want to throw Castillo and the starting pitching into it, because I didn't throw starting pitching into it. For me, it's first base. Like, first base is the clear one you can address. And it's not like putting Yuli out to pasture, because Yuli would still play, be a backup, DH him every now and then.
Look at the situation yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you could go to Yuli on the bench instead of either guy that Dusty could have had alternatives to go to or had coming up in the lineup, win for the Astros. So it could be still a win-win with Yuli.
I mean, if you look at it from like a regular season perspective, Dubon's getting at bats on this team, Chaz McCormick's getting at bats on this team, JJ Mattejevic is getting at bats on this team. Like, you can upgrade guys who are getting at bats on this team without even really being a starter. The guys over at Apollo mentioned David Peralta. Like, you're not trading for David Peralta to be an everyday guy. You're trading for David Peralta to be insurance in the outfield in case somebody's hurt, or in a pinch hit variety for a Martin Maldonado late in the game. So, like, that's an area that we haven't even talked about. Like, how about trading for a veteran dude like Eddie Rosario? I know I butchered that last name, for the Braves last year. Now, he ended up starting a good amount of games, but Martin Maldonado is going to need to be pinch hit for late in games. Do you want it to be JJ Mattejevic, or do you want it to be a pretty good lefty veteran who's been around for a very long time that's a better hitter at this stage in their career?
And I think quietly that's a decision that also has to be made in the near future, too, whether Castro makes it for you or the fact that you make it and say, as much as I'm getting Corey Lee experience right now, I'm getting him at bats, I know it's a different ballgame come the playoffs. And I might need a veteran guy twofold, a veteran guy that can spell Martin Maldonado, that knows, how to handle a pitching staff, and also, can get a bat if I need it, but a guy that can pinch hit and put bat on baseball and get a fly ball if I need it. But I don't know that as much as Corey Lee, again, is in your future, that means he has to be the backup catcher on this squad this year going for a World Series.
Yeah, I think that's an area you can help as well. What do you want to see for the Astros at the deadline, from the Astros at the deadline? And James Click saying that they're going to be super aggressive before the August 2nd deadline. What does that tell you about the Astros GM? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, we'll tell you about Apollo Men's Health. I was there today, and I saw Dr. O and the staff, and I was just, again, really taken aback and pleased by the fact that in the lobby, there were several guys that were like, man, I listen to you all the time. You're the reason why I come to Apollo Men's Health. They've been kicking ass and getting me results. And Doc O looked at me and was like, damn, what about that? And I was like, hey, man, it's all because of you. It's because you took the time to focus on advertising with ESPN 97.5 and showing that you were hitting your demographic and you were seeing results. And that's what it's all about. When you hear me talking about it and you go in there, they're going to take care of the listeners. That means by mentioning ESPN 97.5 on your first official visit, you get a free body composition analysis or a free B12 shot. That body comp, that means if you're starting on a workout program and some days you feel like you're in a rut and you haven't seen the advances in the weight room or the things that you wanted to get to, you're not getting there yet. But then you look at the body comp and say, my body fat's down, my weight is down, my muscle mass is up. And it gives you extra motivation to keep going so you can chart your results. You want to recover quicker? There's HGH peptide therapy. Those B12 shots I got, I'm telling that I mentioned, they give you more energy on a weekly basis. And if you want to take it further than that, there's so many men and women that are exploring hormone therapy because you're not trying to win an Olympic medal and you're not trying to do things that you think, oh, the Olympics don't allow that. Guess what? It allows you to have more energy day in, day out, and do the things in your day you need to do, from your job to your family to so much more. Check them out today. Go to Apollo MH and see all the different services they offer and all the different ways they can help you. And then, like I said, mention ESPN 97.5 in my name. And capitalize on the fact that that'll get you a free B12 shot or a free body comp analysis. Tell those good people what you're trying to accomplish. They'll get you on a program that works, and your goals will be obtainable. Check them out today. The good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
James Click with some comments to Julia Morales yesterday, saying we're going to be aggressive at the deadline. This team is very good, and we want to add to it, paraphrasing here, to give us the best chance to win. E on Twitch is saying that Click was kind of giving a non-answer there. I heard the opposite. This is
too.
The most aggressive that I've ever heard James Click, and I've really heard, I mean, you usually don't hear GMs talk like this. Like, we're going to be active. We're going to be seeking something to help our team ahead of August 2nd. Let's listen to it again from James Click. This, to me, is not a non-answer.
Yeah, with the schedule now, with the draft as late as it is, it creates some new challenges for a lot of us. We have been doing everything we can to get the trade market moving, but a lot of teams focused on the draft for the past week or so. Now that we're through it, we are continuing to work the phones. Last night, this morning, probably during the games today, we are putting all the balls in the air. We are going to be as aggressive as we possibly can because we think that this team has a chance to do something really special, and our job is to give them what they need in order to complete that.
We think this team can be very special, so we're going to be as aggressive as we can be to give this team basically what they deserve, right? Like, he's telling you they're going to be active at the trade deadline. Now, activity doesn't necessarily
mean a trade.
He might have
already tried. He's already been active.
It sounds to me like he's trying to start the trade market, right? Like, that's one interesting point about the draft. The fact that the draft's now in July around the All-Star game and not early June like it used to be, I think is going to lead to the trade deadline activity really not being picked up until like a week leading up into it, especially now with the six teams in each league making the playoffs. So now you push back the draft, which takes up a lot of time and attention for GMs, scouting departments, all of that, and now you added more playoff teams. You're going to see a very condensed schedule where you see activity in trades. And it's going to pick up, I think, this weekend and then leading up to August 2nd. We're about 10 days away from that trade deadline. And he's telling you he's going to go out there and be as aggressive as can be. Our Twitch is talking about center field. Is center field an area where you can improve? I think it is. Like, I like Jake Myers, but Jake Myers doesn't have to be the everyday center fielder in 2022. You're losing Brantley at the end of the year. I don't think they'll re-sign him to an extension. So you can just, you know, slot him back into a starting outfield spot next season. You're not kicking Jake Myers. Maybe you're trading him. But I also think he can be a defensive replacement. So, like, the idea of a Josh Bell, okay, great. I like Josh Bell at first base. That's an upgrade there offensively for what you've seen this year. That doesn't preclude you from also trading for an outfielder and then playing the outfield game, Tucker into center field, doing it that way. Myers comes off the bench as a late inning defensive substitute. Like, and it creates options, and it also creates insurance in case there are injuries that happen between the August 2nd deadline and the playoffs.
But I also think, and we know that Click is a deep thinker no matter what. And I think what he was trying to do there is not only start the market, but also set the precedent that he knows the sooner a deal gets done, the less he has to pay. And he doesn't, nor can he afford to, get into a bidding war, especially if there's more than one move he's looking to make. If there's just one specific area that he's focused on, he may put all his eggs in that basket and just say, I still want to get the deal done sooner rather than later. Because I think no matter what, like I said, other shows seem to believe, there's not more competition at the start of the process. There's more competition in a panic at the end.
But the other team knows that too.
They do.
Other team that you're trading with knows that as well.
They do, but maybe they have their eyes or their scouts on certain people in your system that they really would like to get to, and also realize it's on both sides, it's a win-win. But I think that he's trying to light the fire under the market to get it going, but he's trying to kind of kickstart a couple of teams that he's already had discussions with, trying to get engaged to make a serious deal, which I love every single bit of all of that. And it tells me what I've needed to know that I've been wanting to see from our general manager, that he's focused on. It's not when, it's not if, but it's when. It's not if you're going to do something between now and the deadline. It's you're going to do it. It's who you're trying to get and what you're trying to accomplish. I love all of it.
I believe that he's going to get something done, but activity doesn't necessarily mean that they do. It means that you're trying very hard to get it done. Now, one area that I think that the Astros can use to their advantage that they didn't have the luxury of last season, because, yes, the Astros don't have the best minor league system. They have some players there that could be intriguing, but not for, like, the big names on the market. Like, I think it'd be hard for them to get Luis Castillo. I think it'd be hard for them to get Juan Soto. One of the things that they have to their advantage, though, that they did not have last season is the money between the competitive balance tax. They're very much under the competitive balance tax where they weren't last year. So you had Click getting creative of trading away players on his major league roster for players on other teams' major league rosters. This year, you can kind of absorb a contract. You can trade a second, third, fourth-tier prospect for a David Peralta. Like, I know that's not a splash, but it's somebody who upgrades your bench, and all you're doing is absorbing the rest of the contract. You could go the same route with a backup catcher where, okay, you're not going to upgrade over Maldonado because you love the way he calls a game, but you trade for a veteran who's in the final year of a $7 million deal, and you're not giving anything. All you're doing is absorbing the contract. I think the Astros can help their team in little ways like that. First base is an area where, like, Josh Bell is a free agent at the end of the year. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to be free. You're not going to get him for just absorbing the rest of his contract. But because he does make a decent salary, you can probably get him for a second-tier prospect. Yep. Trey Mancini, the same way. If he's going to be traded, you can probably just, okay, we'll take the rest of the $8, $10 million contract, second-tier prospect, let's call it good. Same thing with the bullpen. Maybe there's an arm out there or a left-handed arm, final year of his deal, maybe he has 2 years left, it's a little higher than this, you know, struggling team wants to pay him, so where you don't have to pay as big a price tag with the prospect because you're absorbing the salary, and it's a luxury the Astros didn't have a year ago.
Exactly. We know that the surplus is with the money, and we know where the shortage is, and that's the prospects. But I think you're right. When teams run the risk of basically just losing a player for nothing, they'd rather get something for them sooner rather than later. I think that's why a sleeper that we've talked about in the past, but I know that the contract is not conducive from the standpoint of a year or two, but I think that the Royals are dumping out. They're going to, if they dump out on Benintendi, they're again going to continue to dump. And Salvador Perez would be a guy that they want to go. Now, that doesn't really fit the narrative of James Click and or this no big deals, no long-term deals. But at the same time, you want to talk about an upgrade that helps your offense, that upgrades your catcher position, that takes care of so many things, and can also manage a pitching staff. I think he is the perfect fit. It's just that the one thing that is going to be the challenge is that contract.
Yeah, he's it's a contract the Astros wouldn't like, right?
They wouldn't like it, but they kind of would love what he could do to enhance this on both sides, offensively and defensively.
To me, there's a couple of challenges there, and the Kansas City doesn't like trading away its popular players for whatever reason, which is like, okay, why not? Like,
I mean, the reality has to hit at some point. Yep. Whether you have them or you don't, they're not going anywhere.
I mean, if I'm Kansas City, I'm trading Salvador Perez. Mm-hmm. I would. The second part of that is that Salvador Perez has not been good this year. He's been banged up a majority of the season, so like he hasn't really been himself because he's been hurt all year. I think he's hurt right now. I think he's on the IL right now. So when is he even going to return? If it's after the trade deadline, I mean, you're not trading for a guy that you don't know about his injury.
Well, maybe
concerns.
That brings the value down. And again, I don't know where his health is, but if it brings the value down too, and you don't have to really give up as much, but you're willing to take on that contract and you know what he does to you and your ball club offensively and defensively, I think that's something that you definitely are in on discussions on, because it seems like, again, Kansas City's going to be dumping out and be major sellers.
I'm playing devil's advocate here because I think Salvador Perez would be very interesting as an Astro. Now, the contract, because he's 32 this year. So next year at 33, he's making 20. At 34, he's making 20. At 35, he's making 22. And then there's a club option in 26. So you're locking yourself into at least a $20 million deal for the next 3 years for a 33, 34, 35-year-old. Now, Martin Maldonado's not, you know, some spring chicken.
And he's up at the end of the year.
And 20's not 30.
You're getting Brantley's money back, I would assume, at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to re-sign Brantley. I think Brantley's done. Yuli's in the final year of his deal. So, I mean, there's the Astros.
There's even more money to be had.
Is Verlander back? I mean, the Astros could be in a position this offseason where they have a lot of money to spend, quite frankly. Benintendi's obviously the big name whenever you talk about Kansas City. I just talked about how you can upgrade at center field. You can play the outfield game by Tucker playing center field. I don't love that idea. Like, okay, if you trade for Benintendi and you're only giving up a second-tier prospect, fantastic. I'm on board. He's not at the top of my list because I really don't want Tucker to be my everyday center fielder. The numbers would tell you he hasn't been great there. And then also, like, if Brantley's playing right field every day, like, I don't love him out in right field every day either.
I agree.
You're helping out the offense, but you're losing defensively.
Yeah, no, you are. And then you start looking around the league. And again, if the Royals are one of the teams that we've looked at, but what about Mike Taylor? What about Michael Taylor as a guy that he's not going to be sexy
he's
in terms of the
name? He's more than batty.
Yeah, but he's going to give you, again, because you may not feel comfortable with two young kids up the middle. Maybe you get a Mike Taylor that's been there, done that, and played for the Nationals in a World Series and won a World Series with the Nationals and really is struggling because, in part, you know, you're not pitching around him, but he's not seeing this kind of pitches he was seeing in Washington. But he knows that if he's on a contending ball club, that he could do a lot of things. And it's not so bad to be starting with the glove first and be a great defensive center fielder. But then if he finds his bat at all and he's not afraid of the big stage, that could help you even if it is short term.
Yeah. The thing that I want, though, more is the bat.
I want
a bat, and Taylor's more glove than bat. I think that Taylor's going to be traded. I think he's going to be traded to a team that wants some outfield depth, probably not going to be a starter somewhere. Something that always gets brought up, too, and Dusty will be the first one to bring this up, a lefty setup guy. Now, if you can find a lefty hammer, that's outstanding. Now, with the new three-batter minimum, it makes lefties a little bit less valuable. Right. And the Astros have some righties that are good against lefties. One of the things that's interesting about a trading for a bullpen arm, like, again, like, I'm fine if they do it. Like, that's cool. Like, you can never have enough bullpen arms. I just don't know if there's a bullpen arm out there that's an immediate upgrade over Stanek, Neris, Montero, Presley. So now you're looking at him as, like, your fifth highest leverage reliever.
See, I like, again, another team that's probably not overly committed to veterans as they continue a rebuild, even if they're in a big market. I think David Robertson's another guy. I think he doesn't fit your lefty role, but he fits a veteran, been there, done that guy that's the closer currently. And again, we know that's what Click liked a year ago when he got three of them from other teams. But you got a guy that's a closer for the Cubs. The Cubs aren't going anywhere. They're trying to do a rebuild, and then they're going to probably, if they're going to make their splashes, they're going to spend a ton of money in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Get a guy that's not on a big-time, long-term contract that doesn't have to be the guy at the back end of your bullpen that gives you better than what you have to help your bullpen. I think there's another guy you could look at and say, that could help our team. I don't know how much we'd have to give up.
Probably
I wouldn't expect
much.
It to be a whole lot.
No, probably second, third-tier prospect. I like Robertson more than I like especially lefty, like a Loogie. I'd rather have Robertson over a Loogie because Loogies nowadays aren't as valuable as they used to. Maton Stanek, very good against lefties. You have a couple righties that you can combat lefties. Now, if you do get Robertson, which I like David Robertson, like, where do you slot him in? Like, is he higher than Stanek, Montero, Neris, Presley, or is he below all those guys? And again, it's a good problem to have. I'm not saying it's a negative.
He's worst case scenario, he's an insurance policy that doesn't dethrone any of those guys, but is someone Dusty can trust in any other aspect. When we know playoff baseball, you can make a change in a moment's notice.
You never know, injuries, things like that.
On the downside, if we have someone that kind of implodes down the stretch and shows he's not ready for it, you got a guy you can plug and play no matter where you need him to do it, and he can be effective.
Yeah. I think he'd probably be your fifth most, like, highest leverage pitcher. But back-to-back days, you know, you're going to need pitchers down the stretch. And then also insurances in case you do have some struggling arms, some injuries along the way as well. Because there's only one chance to improve the team with that August 2nd deadline.
Real quick, who's the guy in Detroit that might be on the market? There's one of the guys in the Tigers' pen that also might be a good fit for the Astros.
I have watched zero Tigers games this year. Okay.
They have Chafin, the lefty.
Chafin's the guy I was thinking about, the former A, right?
I think Soto is their, like, the guy with club control that's going to cost the most.
Chafin's who I was thinking of.
And I think their righty's Fulmer, who is out there on the market as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, do you want the Yankees in the postseason? We'll kick it around with the Will Houseman. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. ESPN 97.5. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know what that means? It means Jose Urquidy is on the mound tonight in Seattle, where thousands of Mariner fans are going to be yelling mean things to Jose Urquidy and booing him and saying the Astros stink. as the Mariners are 10 games behind the Astros in the American League West. But they have won 14 in a row. A lot to be excited about if you're, you know, a Seattle Mariner fan like Paul Gallant. Brad Kellner is joining us now. Good to see you, BK. How are you doing?
The closest thing to a playoff game for the Mariners in 20 years. So we got to let them have this weekend.
But did you see the Twitter, the idiots on Twitter trying to – it's one thing to say, hey, don't cheer for your team. Get fired up. Support them. Full house. Great. That's the environment you want. But then don't sit there and say the main focus is to just take the pot shots at the Astros and do all the stuff that, you know, Yankees and Dodger fans live for.
Hey, the Astros feed off that.
They do.
I hope the Mariners talk a bunch of trash. I hope they boo Altuve louder than anybody else because we know he feeds off of that. So I don't think it bothers these guys.
Well, you saw McCullers' response.
I did.
That was fantastic.
Which is awesome. Yeah. So, I don't think the Astros will be fazed by the environment at all. If anything, the Mariners will be because they're not used to playing in front of a full house. The Astros have been playing in front of full crowds for a long, long time now.
Yeah, see, that's another thing that McCullers and I have in common, that we take abuse from Seattle Mariner fans and that we shared the same headphones once. Like, I don't care if they're calling Verlander, like, things that they saw on the internet or calling Kyle Tucker a baby giraffe. Like, who cares? Like, I don't care if they – like, if you're not throwing anything at them or you're not causing any danger, you could say whatever you want to an athlete.
Verlander's still with Cade Upton, right?
Yeah.
I can't say
He's got
anything.
Scoreboard,
Win.
Right?
I can't say anything bad about
Win.
Him.
He's got scoreboard across the board.
Like, even if he wasn't good this year and he is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, if he had Cade Upton, then I couldn't talk trash. He's winning.
What is Seattle winning at over Verlander and the Houston Astros? Coffee, I think. Fresh fish at the market.
Fried grasshoppers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you want to brag about
that's
those.
That's a big thing there.
I don't think you want to try them.
They got more rain than we do.
They do have more rain, although today.
Whew, boy, I lived
today,
up there. Yep.
Yeah.
Today, getting some, today you're getting a little bit of rain on the brown grass in the city of Houston. It's good to see that. Astros, of course, beating the Yankees yesterday, both games of the doubleheader. So now you got a real race at the top of the American League, just 2.5 games back for the Houston Astros after you win the first one in walk-off fashion after you blow the save in the top of the ninth. And then you win the second one hanging on after you got an unexpected sweat in the ninth inning. Although Brandon Bielak, I don't think you can say enough about him. Do you want to see the Yankees in the postseason, though?
I do. I want the Astros to go through the hardest path possible to win a World Series. I don't want anything close to an asterisk for this Astros team. If the Yankees break the Mariners' record and they get to 117 wins this year, but they get bounced before the Astros play them, people will say, no, the Astros didn't have to play the Yankees. They didn't have to go through the Yankees. Or if they don't play the Dodgers in the NL, oh, they got a cakewalk. They got an easy team out of the National League. Look, Astros fans, World Series counts the exact same, right? A World Series is a World Series. You'll take it however you get it, but I want the Astros to go through and beat all of the hardest teams en route to a title.
I like
so
it.
Nobody has any trash they can
I hear what you're saying, but I would say the logical follow-up would be, but you don't want them to be long, grueling series. You just want them to win them because the one thing you don't want, is you take on that kind of gauntlet that you're talking about, but in each one of them, you got to exhaust your pitching staff, and you're in, you know, nail biters, and they're going down to the wire, and in the process, guys are putting a lot of miles on the tires. That would concern me.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, the rational way of thinking is you want the easiest path possible. That's tough to say back to back. But the emotional side of me wants the toughest path possible to just shut up Yankee fans, shut up Dodger fans, and anybody else who the Astros want to take down along the way.
I mean, if you go back to 17, it was basically a who's who of who you beat along the way. You beat Boston in the DS, you beat the Yankees in the CS, and then you beat the Dodgers in the World Series. So, like, they've went the way of pedigree around Major League Baseball and have won it. Like, anybody you play in the playoffs is going to be good. So I don't think you can taint anything. Like, if you win a World Series, it's not tainted. It's difficult to win the playoffs, especially baseball, where it's such a crapshoot. Now, they have proven that they can beat the top dogs. They did it in 17. 19, they got there, lost to the Nationals. Got there in 21, lost to the Braves. I don't really care who they play in the Division Series. I really don't care who they play in the World Series. But the one series that I want to watch more than anything else is I want to see a seven-game series between the Astros and Yankees. DS don't matter. World Series don't matter. I need to see Astros-Yankees this year in the ALCS.
So you're not worried at all?
Well, I mean, the Yankees can beat you. Absolutely, the Yankees can beat you.
Okay.
But I like the Astros' chances, and I think it'd be compelling entertainment.
Oh, man, the entertainment factor would be sky high. You know Major League Baseball wants that, right? Like, if they can't get Red Sox-Yankees, they'll take Astros-Yankees this year. That'd be huge.
And because of the marketability of a team that has so much that's floating around them, and not, just because they're not necessarily one of the top three markets – they have so many intangibles they bring to the table that everybody wants to see. That and can and again, when you have the top two teams in any league, it's the best matchup. It's just that I think that from my standpoint, I don't want to see this team go through too much just to get there, because we saw it a year ago. We saw it multiple times where they fight their ass off and do everything that they need to do, but they take some bullets along the way, get to the World Series, not at 100%, not at full strength, or for whatever reason, they fall short. I think as much as what you're talking is important, the most imperative thing is win one more.
Yeah.
I don't care how you do it. If you want to deflect it a little because they didn't take on every other top team, especially if you finish with the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the number one seed, then I think it lessens the need to say you have to play the Yankees.
Yeah, why are you using logic, Joel?
So my bad.
I don't like that. You know, I'd rather
Friday
play,
too. I'm sorry.
I know. I'd rather play the Dodgers than the Yankees. Like, if I had to pick one playoff opponent for the Astros, like, because the Astros got to meet up with the Yankees again after 2017. They have not gotten to play the Dodgers in the postseason since then. And to me, they're still the loudest fan base in terms of trashing the Astros. Now, the Yankees are right there. It's a pretty close one, too. But just to shut the Dodger fans.
It's also real quick, real funny, though, from a Dodger fan perspective, to take the amount of shots they continue to take. And I think a lot of it has to do with what you said. But they won a World Series after 60 games. No one gets – I understand. But, again, as much as they point to the asterisk and point to the cheating – you could also say, but what have you really done? You played a third of a season and got yourself one?
Yeah, I've heard y'all talk about this. Why don't they get mad at the Red Sox? Red Sox beat them in 2018, and they cheated their way to the World Series.
And by the way, their right fielder, who they love, was a cheater.
Yeah, don't look up Mookie Betts' numbers in 2018 and then everything he's done since 2018. It's pretty egregious. I actually, and I hate doing this, but I actually defend the Dodgers World Series title. When they won it in the COVID year. That was the most challenging postseason to ever win a World Series in baseball history.
But there's because no you had fan the, base.
Sure, but you had the extra round. There's no fan base for them either, right. So it works both ways. There was an extra round. Like, you had to go a further round in that postseason because they gimmicked it up and gamed it up to make it more compelling, and I don't know how Manfred got away with it, but they had to win more series that year to win a World Series than any team has ever done in Major League Baseball history. So, like, the 60-game regular season, yeah, you know, it was a sprint, not a marathon. You didn't have the, you know, the long season and have to get through all
but how
that.
Many of those
but you had
series
a more difficult playoff
tight,
series that you had to win.
And because you didn't have to worry about guys playing 162 and then going through that.
It matters.
I don't think it factors as much.
No, I think that's a good point about the regular season.
Yeah.
But in terms of winning that postseason, it was the most challenging postseason to ever win.
Mm.
So it goes both ways. Like, I have a tough time putting an asterisk on that World Series title. Now, if you want to put an asterisk like on that regular season, I'll hear you on that one. But, like, I hate to defend the Dodgers, though. But I think that's the most, like, must-see entertainment you could see for the Astros in the playoffs. Like, DS, whatever. But ALCS, you get the Yankees. Must-see TV. World Series, you get the Dodgers. Must
see
TV.
That's just unbelievable. And if you somehow win it,
oh yeah,
you shut everybody up forever.
You'd be celebrating forever. Would you win that one and then give up the rest of your life in championships? Like, you get to beat the Yankees in the CS, the Dodgers in the World Series, but you never win another Houston sports championship ever again.
In any sport?
Any sport.
No.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either.
Nope. No?
No.
It's a lot of faith that somebody's going to win a championship.
Well, you know, I might die at like 30 or 40. So
how imperative it is for this city
get.
And even in my lifetime, what's left of it, to have Houston win a football championship?
Okay, let's go baseball then. You can win the 2022 World Series as an Astro, but you never win another World Series in your lifetime.
That's hard for me to do because the nucleus is still so good that they're going to be competitive enough. I don't know that I would go that far.
Mm, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I'll do that. Okay. Would you say yes to your first question?
Yeah, I think. Well, no, professional sports.
Okay, I was going to say no Cougs, Natties? Come on, man.
Professional sports. I'll stick it to professional sports, sure. Because you still get the ride. You still get the playoff runs. You just don't get another title, you know. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
We're going to talk to Brett Boone at 5:30. He does Mariners TV up there in Seattle.
So Aaron's brother.
Yeah, it is Aaron's brother.
We'll get his perspective on this big series coming up. We'll preview the series and why people aren't making a big enough deal about the Madden ratings. People are dunking on them saying they don't matter. It's a bigger deal than people think.
Why players worry so much about them?
They do.
All right.
Jeez.
Thanks.
Now they're getting a gold chain out of it. You saw that?
Uh-huh.
I like the gold chain. That's pretty cool. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Have a great weekend, Houston. We'll talk to you on Monday. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.